A six-year-old girl was drawing a picture. Her teacher said, "What are you drawing?" And the little girl answered, "I'm drawing a picture of God." The teacher was surprised and said, "But nobody knows what God looks like." The little girl paused for a moment, carried on drawing, and then replied, "They will in a minute." Since the year 1000, this first Sunday after Pentecost has been kept by the church as the occasion for celebrating the Feast of the Trinity. Understanding God is a mystery, and the novelist Dorothy Sayers is said to have commented, quoting the Athanasian Creed, "The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, the Holy Spirit incomprehensible, the whole jolly lot incomprehensible." And so various attempts have been made to give illustrations, and one of those that you may be familiar with is that of water, because water comes in three forms. We have liquid, we have ice, we have vapor, and it is all H2O. In St. Faith's Church in Ohinemutu, Rotorua, there's a chapel to the right of the church, and the east wall behind the chapel altar is largely of clear glass. But sandblasted on the window is a picture of Jesus wearing a Maori cloak. Now, many tourists walk around the church and look at this window, but completely miss the point. The purpose of the window is seen when you kneel to pray. It is indeed a picture of Jesus walking on the water, but you only see this when you're on your knees. Understanding the Trinity is a bit like that. It's something we discover on our knees. It's seen with the eyes of faith. And Trinity is a celebration of the fullness that God has revealed. It's what God has disclosed of himself, showing his person, God's nature, God's work. And there are groups today, as there were in the early centuries of the church, that claim that the doctrine of the Trinity is not biblical, but an error in human thinking. Now, it certainly is a product of human thinking. It's an endeavor to express the inexpressible, but it most certainly also is thoroughly biblical. And so the question that arises, why did the early Christians think about this and think of this and talk about God in this way as Trinity? Well, really, they had no choice. And to understand the development of the Trinity, it's necessary for us to undertake a brief biblical survey. The starting point is in the faith and experience of Israel. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God." The Jews strongly held to this. They even fought for it. There's only one God. And tribes and nations around them who had many gods or other gods were anathema to them. There is only one God was their firm and central understanding. As the Old Testament story unfolds and history develops, a promise emerges through the prophets. And the message is that God will send a messenger, the Messiah, to rescue Israel from oppression. And of course, we know that at the right time, Jesus appears on the world stage. And from Jesus comes teaching about the kingdom of God. What's more, the teachings accompanied by demonstrations of power, with healing and miracles, and the dead are raised to life. And in his teaching, Jesus makes statements that absolutely astound his hearers. He says such things as, "I and the Father are one." "These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." And perhaps the crowning statement is, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." And so Jesus is the key to knowing God. And although they remained steadfast that God is one, they could not escape the fact that before their eyes was one who portrayed consistency with the God they knew and who claimed continuity with him. But there's more. Because before Jesus concluded his ministry, he not only reinforced his own relationship with the Father, but he also pointed the disciples to the future and to further experience of God. And so their experience expands, and Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit. From this morning's gospel, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me." Jesus left, and when the disciples experienced Pentecost and the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them, they recognized in that experience continuity with the Jesus they knew. This was not something foreign, but it was the embrace of the God they knew. And as they experienced transformation in their lives, they recognized that the Holy Spirit was indeed God who was at work in them. And so here was an experience of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet one God. So this brief, broad sweep of God's action in history tells us that God has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we have the question, what's the significance of the Trinity today? Why does it matter? The outstanding witness of God as Trinity is that relationships lie at the heart of the divine. At the very heart of existence, at the center of the universe, is a relationship of love. If God was a single person, there would be no love. You can only have love in relationship. If I lived by myself in continuous isolation, there would be no love, no relationship. I would not be loved or know love. But before the world began is a God of love who dynamically expresses this in relationship. And so Jesus affirms this when he says, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." And so this unique God of Trinity is not a static, remote, single being. The heart of God is dynamic. God is personal. God is love. God seeks to reach out and to relate to his people. And so the heart of God seeks to embrace us with love and include us in fellowship. God doesn't want us excluded, but to personally enfold us with the life of the Spirit. And so as we come to communion this morning, it is God the Father who invites us to share in his life, to receive Jesus, and to share in fellowship, to share in the spirit of love. There is a quite famous icon from the Russian Orthodox Church painted by Rublev, which is often been interpreted, partly other things, but also mainly interpreted as a symbol and picture reminding us of the Trinity, the three persons of the Trinity. And you'll see that in this icon, they are seated around a table of hospitality. It's a place where people share in fellowship, where you partake food and are strengthened. It's a place of interaction and embracing. And you'll see that it isn't all closely packed and tightly covered, but in the middle there's a gap. And this suggests that there's room for you to join in, to share in hospitality with God. And so the painting, the icon, is an invitation. It's an invitation to be included and to join in and to celebrate with God. So God the Trinity invites us to share in fellowship, invites us to experience God's fullness. I'd like to suggest now that we just spend a few moments in silence and just look at the picture and think about God's invitation. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing God to us and leading us to God's experience and fullness and life. Amen.